We have to look after Pai. Not much left, huh? So, both of you, yeah? I mean, if you agree, yeah, then we can probably ordain you towards the end of May, yeah? If you don't want to, no, I mean, I don't force anybody, you know, you have to do it on your own, yeah? I mean, that is the best way, you know? We want to ordain, yeah? But we want to ordain for one goal. Finding the way out. Huh? We don't want to ordain for easy life, yeah? Because after a while, after you get used to the bhikkhu life, you know, it seems easy, you know? I mean, you just go pindapat a little bit, you go on alms round, you know, you get your food, you know, then you go into the sala, you eat, you know, and then you go and sleep and sleep and sleep, or do this or do that, yeah? I mean, as a reminder to everyone, yeah, I always stress that this is a place of practice, yeah? It's not a place, you know, to do this or to that, yeah? When I mean practice, you know, that means we are walking chongkrom and we sit in samadhi. This is the work of a samana. I don't know how often I have to say this, yeah? Just these two things, yeah? Walking chongkrom, yeah? Sitting in samadhi. This is the work of a samana. Of course, we have to take care of this monastery. Yeah? I mean, we have to keep it clean. But it doesn't take a lot of time, you know, to keep it clean. Yeah? I mean, in the afternoon, how long does it take? You know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. If you go to other monasteries, you know, I mean, they sleep for 2 hours, 3 hours. Yeah? And have a huge sala, you know, where you have to clean the sala for 2 hours, yeah? So this place, and I try to keep it this way, yeah? And at the moment I didn't put a lot of attention on, you know, because I don't want to force people, huh? But, because I think, you know, I mean, you are all adults, yeah? I mean, you know what to do, and you came to this place to practice, yeah? And you didn't come to this place, you know, to do this or to that, you know, to waste your time with this or waste your time with that. And I expect from the Europeans, you know, from the Western people, that they have some self, yeah? Self-discipline, you know, to practice, yeah? And not to find this kind of work or that kind of work. Lungta Mahabua, you know, I mean, he knew his bhikkhus, you know, and I was hesitant to do that, yeah? He went twice a day around to every kuti of the monks, you know, and see, look what they were doing, yeah? And if he caught them for a few times, yeah, not doing practice, yeah, I mean, he just kicked them out, yeah? I really don't, you know, want to intrude so much, but maybe I really have to do it, yeah? I don't know, yeah? So take this, you know, take this to heart, you know, and don't do, yeah? But what I'm asking you now, any one of you who wants to do some work, you know, has to get, yeah, permission from me first, yeah? And if I see that it is necessary, because sometimes work is necessary, you know, a pipeline cracks and we have to repair it, you know, this is necessary, or, you know, the power goes down, you know, and then we have to repair this, or kuti leaks, you know, then we have to repair this. Yeah, we have to do it, yeah? But it is not much, you know, at the moment we have some novices, you know, we have to keep them busy, yeah? That is quite some work for the monks, yeah? We have to find some work that they can do so that they get tired, yeah, and don't think, you know, astray. But that is all, yeah. Normally in the Panza there is nothing at all, yeah. There's no work at all, and most of the time, you know, there's nothing, yeah. So I mean, take it, you know, take the opportunity. And it is difficult to find a monastery like this, you know, where you have the opportunity, yeah. You are not forced to do anything, yeah. Unless the Ajahn, you know, says today, you know, we do this or we do this kind of work, and I invite everybody, you know, to help, yeah. Unless I say this, you know, you are free, you know, to practice the whole day, yeah. And it is difficult to find monasteries like that. At that time when I went to Wat Papantat, it was a monastery like that, yeah. But now, I mean, now it has changed also, you know, because Lumdra Mahapoa didn't look, yeah. Once he died, you know, nobody looked after the monks, you know. So the monks found this kind of work, you know. And when you look, you know, when you look around, you know, Thailand, you know, I mean, they're building this, they're building that, they're building a chedi, then they're building a sala, then they build a new monastery, you know. I mean, and it's lots of work. And once they finish the work, they find another work to do. But that is not our work. That's not why we are ordained. We are ordained really, you know, to find a way out, you know, to at least to enter the stream, you know, enter the door, huh? The gateway, you know, that leads us out of dukkha, yeah. Even if you don't manage it, you know, to get to the freedom, to liberation of arahantship, you know, I mean, at least we should strive, you know, for getting to the to the gateway of where we come out, to the sotapanna, to the stream entry, yeah? Where we at least are assured of that we have seven more lives, you know, at most seven more lives to live, yeah? And this should be the minimum of our aspiration, yeah? The best aspiration, of course, is, you know, not to come back in any form, yeah? Or to find the liberation, yeah? To become an arahant. That it is not easy, you know. The path of practice is not easy, and once it gets difficult, that's where we think of doing this or doing that. Yeah. In the moment, you know, as long as the practice is going well, you know. But the practice is going well. Sometimes it's going well, and sometimes it's going difficult. And I said, I always said, yeah. The moment it gets difficult, that's where we can learn the most of it, yeah? But if we retreat, you know, and don't fight, you know, and don't fight and don't investigate what is going on, I mean, we will never cross that mountain. We will never cross that hurdle, yeah? We always stand in front of the hurdle, yeah? And always think of something, how can we avoid it? We cannot avoid it. Whatever comes up, we cannot avoid it, yeah? And that is the same thing, you know, with living with other bhikkhus, you know, together in the monastery. Yeah? I mean, we have to remember one thing. Yeah? One thing we have to remember. Whatever is happen, yeah? Whatever happens in our heart. And our reaction in our heart, we are responsible for it, not the other person. We are the soul responsible? We have the soul responsibility for our heart. Yeah? So if we are dissatisfied, when we look around, if we are dissatisfied with what other people are doing, then this dissatisfaction arises in our heart. Yeah? And this is a fundamental way, you know, how to be in a monastery, you know, and live in peace. Yeah? I've seen monasteries where the monks are fighting, you know, and I don't want to see that, yeah? That's not good, yeah? I mean, whatever happens, yeah? Whatever problem also, whatever problem arises in our heart, yeah? Comes from us. Most of the time it comes from our views and opinions, and that's what we have to investigate, yeah? How can I think that, or what do I think, you know, that makes me angry? Yeah? And then I go and investigate inside my heart and rip it out. Yeah? This wrong view that makes me angry. Yeah? It has nothing to do with the outside matter. Yeah? It has nothing to do with this person or with that person or with this situation or that situation. Yeah? It has only to do with our own reaction. And our own reaction is born in our heart. Yeah? And we have to find the cause for this reaction. Yeah? To see it, you know, I mean, to investigate it. Maybe we have to investigate 100 times. Maybe we have to investigate 1,000 times. Maybe we have to investigate 10,000 times. The stronger the root of this opinion or view or things is, yeah, I mean, the longer we have to investigate until we get to it, yeah. And once we see, you know, the the end of the root, then we just draw it out, and then these things don't come again, yeah. And then we can live in peace, yeah? But we are responsible for our own behavior, yeah? Nobody else is responsible. We are responsible for our own reaction. And think about it, when you enter samadhi, when there is no more thoughts, and when there is no memories coming up, there is no problem. The problem only starts when we come out of samadhi and see this and see that, then the problem created, yeah? The problems are created by our own thought machine, yeah? The problems are created by the thoughts and combined, you know, with memory, yeah? That spews up our opinions and our views, you know, how they should be, how that should be, yeah? And wherever we go, you know, even if we don't like this kind of monastery, wherever we go, we take our problems to the next place, yeah? And that's, you know, and if you remember, I mean, when you went to work, you know, you worked very hard and then you went to holiday, yeah? And for 2 weeks there were no problems because you felt easy. But when these holidays extended to 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 10 weeks, then suddenly all your old problems came up again. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter in what kind of environment, what kind of place you are. I mean, the problems are in your heart, yeah? I mean, you can avoid it for a certain amount of time, but sooner or later it will come up, yeah? And then, for us, you know, it is the time to deal with it, yeah? Now dig down, find the root of it. And it is certainly, you know, most of the time, it's certainly, you know, in one of our views and opinions, how things should be, yeah? And how things should be, you know, I mean, makes the world very narrow-minded, yeah? Just be free, just be open, you know, see what is there, you know, and then deal with whatever is there. Don't form opinion what I'm going to do tomorrow or what I'm doing next, you know, just see what is happening, yeah? And then, depending on the happening, you know, react to it. But I know it is difficult, okay? And just this as a reminder, yeah? So there were some questions or what?
Ow.
Oh.
So, from Yuchuda, are there ghosts and spirits in this forest? Have you come
in mid forest? So here in this monastery,
So I think it's a typo, because in parenthesis, ghosts and spirits
may... What?
It's a typo, who might have wrote this question, because in parenthesis of ghost spirits, it says me and P. P, me.
P is ghost, yeah? And Preet.
Yeah, but... Here.
Hungry ghost.
So, no. Have you come any disturbances? Yeah. That
was this question. I mean, I have been to many places, and some places, you know, there are ghosts, you know, there are hungry ghosts, you know, but in this monastery I haven't seen any, yeah, or I haven't experienced any, because sometimes you can see them, sometimes you can feel them, yeah. So, from my knowledge, you know, and whenever, you know, people are afraid of ghosts, most of the time the ghosts are in their own heart, yeah, they are not external beings, yeah. And that's when, oh, there are ghosts, you know, and actually, you know, it is only in their own heart, yeah. So I tell the people, you know, who think they have a ghost, you know, or they see a ghost, you know, just send it to me. And so far, none of the ghosts has come, yeah.
There is a monk who wrote us, a monk from Sri Lanka. He said he listened to one of your talks in 2010, yeah. And there was a Malaysian woman was asking question about waves and bubbles that arises in our practice.
What?
Waves and bubbles.
Waves and bubbles?
That arise in the practice in our samadhi. And apparently in this talk you said that if she would practice through this way, it might take a lot of time to go through this practice. And so when you said this, this monk, he was wondering if you work on those phenomena like waves and bubbles that might happen, can he lead to samadhi or can he lead even to magga? That was his question.
No, none of this will lead to samadhi, none of this will lead to magga. Because samadhi is only the concentration on one object, yeah? Either we take the Buddha, or we take the breath, or we take the combination of Buddha and breath, and that is the most important thing, you know? And that's probably what I said to this woman, yeah? If we are interested in any phenomena that arises, we are not doing our samadhi practice. And then, you know, if you are interested, I mean, these phenomena will never stop because our interest, yeah, produces these phenomena, yeah, and they get stronger and stronger and stronger. And the more we are interested, you know, the stronger they get, and the more we are going astray. Yeah, I mean, samadhi, it has to be clear, you know, I have one object, you know, be it the Buddha or be it the breath. And whenever the mind turns around and finds something this or finds, some people, you know, have, you know, suddenly shaking, you know, so they get interested in the shaking of the body and then the shaking becomes stronger. This is not samadhi practice. Huh? I hope this is clear. Any phenomena we are not interested, we are interested in one object and that is the Buddha or is the breath, yeah? And whatever happens with the breath, yeah? Is the breath fine? Is the breath detailed? Is it long? Is it short? That's what we are interested in. We are not interested in the side effects of our samadhi practice, yeah? Because normally, you know, people always, you know, when they do samadhi, they always, one eye always looks out, you know, Do I enter now samadhi? Do I enter now samadhi? That is not samadhi practice, yeah? Both eyes should be on the breath or both eyes should be on the Buddha, yeah? We are not interested if we enter samadhi, yeah? Upachara samadhi or apana samadhi. We are interested how is the breath at this very moment, yeah? This is the key to the practice, yeah? Of samadhi and sati, the development. Okay, understood?
This time is a lay person. How can one place social engagement, which means helping those who are in need, on the path if the ultimate goal is to leave samsara? Are both of them possible, meaning being in samsara and enjoying the social life and at the same time trying to disengaging from samsara?
I mean, it is to a certain degree it is possible, but it is very difficult. Yeah? Why should I, you know? I mean, why should I build up, you know, a lot of, you know, stones on my path, yeah? In order to remove them, yeah? When I want to go this path, yeah? I mean, this person has to. Now I don't get the word. Has to decide for himself what he wants to do. Does he want social engagement? Then he should do social engagement. Yeah? He should keep the 5 precepts to social engagement, help other people. Yeah, and then the next life he might have, you know, better condition, you know, for ordaining as a monk, you know, and then finding the way out.
Maybe I can ask. And then the second question from the same person, he say, is it helpful to follow the 8 precepts as often as possible in everyday life if you intend to become a monk in the future?
Yes, but not, you know, I mean, it is not helpful, you know, if you do, you know, you should do it on days, you know, where you don't work, yeah? Yeah? I mean, then it is helpful, you know, to follow the 8 precepts, you know, eating only once a day or before noon, yeah? And then keeping the 8 precepts, yeah? But it is very difficult if you live in a lay life, yeah? So, I mean, you shouldn't do it while you're working, yeah? I mean, you should do it on Saturday or Sundays or when you go on holiday, then you can do it, yeah? Yes, it is. Anything is helpful, you know. Just keeping the five precepts, you know, it is already difficult, yeah? And then now he wants to keep the eight precepts and then the ten precepts, yeah? And in order to be able to keep the five precepts, you know, you have to have sati, you have to have samadhi, so you have to train samadhi, yeah? And you have to train sati in order to see, you know, where you go off the road, yeah? Off the five precepts, yeah? Yes, but in general, it is helpful, you know, for future life, you know, if you train the eight precepts, yeah? Because then once you become a monk, it is not so difficult, yeah? For a person who has never trained eight precepts, you know, I mean, it is rather difficult to become a monk, yeah? Okay?
And his last question, he was, before practicing asubha, should one learn to calm and correct the mind first?
Of course.
Or can you also reflect on it in your everyday life? For example, when you work as a nurse, and use what you experience to reflect on old age, illness, death, and asubha.
This is something that you can always do, okay. Yeah? No, asubha practice is really the concentration on the body, you know, or on the body part, yeah? You shouldn't do the asubha practice, you know, on the world, yeah? This is daily reflection where you can reflect about the life, you can reflect about the work, and especially if you're a nurse, especially if you're in an emergency unit, you know, where you see all these people coming, you know, from all sorts of accidents with your arm cut off, you know, or with a bullet, you know, in your chest, you know, and then you open it up. This is very helpful, you know. I mean, you can use these kinds of, you know, encounters to reflect about death, to reflect about the nature of the body, yeah, and not push it away, yeah. So this is really helpful. But the real asubha practice is then, yes, you have to calm your mind first, yeah? If you're not able to concentrate on the Buddha or on the breath, you know, and stay there for at least for 10 minutes, you know, without that the mind is going wandering off all around the world, yeah? Then asubha practice is not going to be helpful, yeah? But this reflection you can do any time, yeah? I mean, reflect about being born, you know, reflect about, you know, how you learn to walk, how you learn to talk, you know, how you went to school, you know, and bring up all the memories, you know, all these lovely memories, you know, that created so much dukkha in our life, yeah? Yeah? So that we get more motivation, you know, for finding the way out, yeah? Okay, is that all, or?
Well, the other one is a bit long, so maybe it's enough for today.
But what is it?
isn't it that it was about karma? You remember we discussed about this one. The karma, is everything about karma? And then he was quoting one sutta of the Lord Buddha where he said that differences come from different sources. So I can read the question.
When I say karma, yeah? I mean, normally I give the people a rule of thumb, yeah? Huh? That's how you, yeah? If you see everything as karma, it cannot be wrong. Of course it is not, yeah? It is not 100%. The Lord Buddha said there are chances, you know, that are not dependent on karma, yeah? I mean, if you catch the flu, that is not because of your karma, yeah? Yeah? If you overeat yourself, you know, and get stomach ache, of course this is not karma. But any kind of serious illness, you know, that lasts for a certain amount of years, you know, I mean, it's due to our karma, yeah? But for me, for myself, you know, I found it so helpful, because then, when you think, not everything is karma, yeah? I mean, you try to find, is this karma, is this not karma? But if you make the rule of thumb, yeah? I mean, whatever happens to me is my karma, yeah? And then I look, you know, and then I look within myself. What kind of, you know, what kind of speech, what kind of action, what kind of thoughts create this karma? And then I go inside, investigate, you know, and then uproot that kind, you know, that kind of reaction or that kind of thought, and that kind of opinion, that kind of view that creates this kind of karma, yeah? I mean, this is much more helpful. Of course, you know, not everything is, you know, is karma, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha said that, yeah? I mean, there are chances. But, I mean, you can think of it 99.9% is karma, yeah, what happens to you. But some of it is also stupidity. You eat a food that you like and you overeat and then you need to throw up and there's lots of dukkha. This is not karma. Or you get stomach ache or you get indigestion or whatever. This is not karma. This is your own stupidity, that leads you to these things, yeah? But serious illnesses, that of course cause death, like cancer or other things, Alzheimer, and Parkinson. These are certainly karma. Or allergies, that you are born with, or that come, at a certain age, and you can't get rid of it, is karma, yeah? Allergies, is a typical thing, for when we in our last life, overeat on nuts, yeah? Because we love nuts so much, we overeat, you overindulge, and then in the next life, we are allergic to it because it is not good for our body. And we also have to think, not everybody, can take the same things, yeah? Huh? I think in English you say one man's poison is the other man's medicine, yeah? So, you cannot put everybody over the same scale. Everybody has a body designed, of past karma, yeah? So, and it is also designed, to have certain illnesses. It is also designed because of our karma to have a certain span of life, yeah? Okay? You think it's answered, yeah?
Yes, I think so. No. There is just the last one. It's a short one, but it was in German, and Google Translate did not help me too much. I don't understand the meaning. What does that mean? Because my German pronunciation will be... Remember this one, wie genau läuft das?
Wie genau läuft das mit der Hauslosigkeit und wohin?
Also ich verstehe die Frage nicht.
Ah, wie genau läuft das mit der Hauslosigkeit? Wahrscheinlich die Hauslosigkeit, in die sich ein Mönch begibt, also wenn er sich dazu entschließt, Mönch zu werden.
Wie das genau läuft?
Ich weiß nicht, vielleicht, ja, und wohin? Wie genau läuft das mit der Hauslosigkeit? Und
there was no context, it was just this, the message. I don't know.
Tja, da kann man jetzt so...
Wenn ich in die Hauslosigkeit gehe, dann gebe ich alles Weltliche auf. Ja? Also, ich gehe in die Hauslosigkeit und gebe meinen Besitz auf. Ja? Alles Materielle. Ja? Das Geistige, das müssen wir jetzt auf dem Weg aufgeben. In die Hauslosigkeit zu gehen, ja? Das hat einen einzigen Zweck, den Weg rauszufinden. Ja? Den Weg aus dem Dukkha zu finden oder den Weg aus dem Hamsterrad zu finden. Das ist der einzige Zweck für die Hauslosigkeit. Ansonsten wüsste ich nicht, warum ich in die Hauslosigkeit gehen sollte. Ja? Ein Mönch, ne, der geht in die Hauslosigkeit, ne, um. Ne? Er geht nicht darum, um Mönch zu werden, um einen Status zu haben, um ein Ansehen zu bekommen, um Reichtum zu gewinnen, ne? Inneren Reichtum, seelischen Reichtum, was auch immer. Ein Mönch, der geht in die Hauslosigkeit, um ein Ziel zu erreichen, aus dem Hamsterrad, ne, des Lebens rauszutreten, um frei zu werden, um nicht wiedergeboren zu werden. Weil ansonsten, wenn wir in dem Hamsterrad drin bleiben, dann werden wir immer wieder geboren. Ne? Und nicht immer als Menschen, sondern manchmal als Tiere, manchmal als Geister, manchmal sind wir, oder die meiste Zeit sind wir eigentlich in der Hölle, manchmal sind wir im Himmel und so weiter. Und es dreht sich, ne? Das dreht sich immer wieder. Ne? Und der einzige Grund, warum wir in die Hauslosigkeit gehen, ist, weil wir diese Anhänglichkeit zu den materiellen Dingen und auch zu unserem Äußeren, ne, zum äußeren Aussehen des Körpers, ne, aufgeben wollen. Ne? Das ist das Härteste. Ne? Und wenn wir das geschafft haben, müssen wir die Abhängigkeit oder die Anhänglichkeit zu unseren inneren Werten, zu unseren Ansichten, zu unseren Einstellungen, ne? Und vor allem zum Körper auch aufgeben. Ne? Aber das ist ein langes Training. Und Hauslosigkeit ist die Grundvoraussetzung dafür. Deswegen geht man in die Hauslosigkeit. Dann Alex, you understand? Hast du verstanden? So, das ist letzte, oder? Okay. You understood a bit? No. Pedro, what language are you talking? Spanish? No. Eu falo português. Português, yeah? Português and English, right?
In Spanish.
In Spanish, yeah. They're very similar. Yeah?
Yeah, but they speak it.
Yeah, I mean the sound is different.
Yeah.
But they have so much in common, you know, so many words in common.
I know some words of French also. You can speak French to me sometimes. Oh.
My French is completely gone. I mean I could read books in French, you know? Huh? Even some philosophy books, yeah. But now I can't read. Yeah,
I understood the
I come from who? How are you?
Comment allez-vous?
Comment allez-vous? It's already gone. Je ne comprends pas.